I'm Christopher Lydon. This is Open Source from the Watson Institute at Brown University. We call it an American conversation with global attitude. This one is a Gabby impromptu stroll through an art gallery with the president of the Rhode Island School of Design, John Maeda. The art in this case, on the walls of the Brown University Museum, is Soviet posters, cartoons, and visual propaganda from the 1920s to the collapse of communism. The experiment here, maybe the long shot lesson, has to do with thinking out loud about images in front of our faces. Away with the earphones and the recorded tour guide, can we tear our eyes off the tags and the texts and make our own eye, brain, memory, and imagination links with the public art of another time and place? The intrepid John Maeda plunges in with the mind of a 40-year-old American graphic designer who did most of his art studies in Japan, who is now the shepherd of a rising generation of artists in many media, including paint and pottery and posters.
Oh, wow, look at that. Stalin cult. So, I'm not up on my Russian history. What am I supposed to feel right now?
Anything you want, but I would think...
propaganda.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Yeah. Propaganda... public art,
yeah.
Mind of the masses,
manipulation.
This is J.P. Morgan and John D. Rockefeller. This is America, pal. Welcome to America.
Pigs and big people.
Yeah, pigs and rich people with cigars.
So I'm supposed to be hating America now?
You're supposed to. Yeah,
I'm supposed to question America.
Uncle Sam is just trying to bleed the people.
You know, this is an example of like, you know, they had two colors. They had to reduce cost, black and red, you know, and it's just a kind of a, it's just so interesting how like, you know, the red, why is it red, the bloody red, the eye-catching, eye-popping red, darkness, so sad, geometry over here, look at that. How am I feeling as a person of this era? Am I inspired? I'm supposed to be inspired by this, aren't I?
You're supposed to be, I think, both inspired and suppressed.
Scared.
And de-inspired, yeah. Go to work.
What's the difference between inspiration and being afraid?
Well, good question. I think all this kind of fascist art is supposed to make you feel very, very small.
Make you feel small.
Joe Stalin, big. John Maeda, Chris Lydon, very, very small.
First law of simplicity, reduce.
Yes.
Exactly. Oh, it makes it easier. If everyone feels smaller, it's easier to control them. How interesting.
Of course, especially if they think they're small.
Sad. Mm. What do the hands mean? I mean, there's always like the hands in the sky, hands in the...
That's such a good question. Somebody says that there's a satirical and ironic artistic gesture here that any hand that can be... used to make that dog profile, you know, is a symbol
profile.
Of mockery.
Really?
It could be that the artist is mocking his own work here.
Kind of a subtle thing.
Beware that hand that could be a dog if you held it up to the light.
So the artist is sticking it to the leaders.
Could be. And there are others that'll make you wonder about that.
Oh, that's true. Like, the people who made these things were freer of soul. This is the whole thing I kind of battle with right now in my own mind, this whole right brain tendency to kind of be open, free. I mean, there weren't hippies back then, of course, but they were essentially hippies. There were free artist thinkers being able to think creatively. And there's a whole left brain side, more logical, structured, fit the process. And I think that these people of this era who were making these things were struggling with the fact that the right brain was literally serving the left brain world. So you're right.
Interesting.
This is probably a subtle way to say, help.
People hear Shostakovich's music that way, too, that there are calls for help, screams of agony inside it.
This is beautiful.
Well, that's the thing. There's so much beauty here. This is Lenin.
This is gorgeous. I mean, it's just sort of simple plane of red. You know, the planes aren't registered, so it's even more, it feels more real. It's got such velocity. I mean, it's the whole pregnant moment thing in visual art. He's walking somewhere, so you feel him going somewhere.
He's almost the prow of a ship, too.
Exactly. You feel everything points to him going here. This is the empty space over here. You know where he's going.
Right.
So as a message, it's so powerful. You know, the flowing wind, he's headed some direction, the pregnant moment thing, he's going to go there. You know, this is great branding of a leader, you know?
Can we talk branding? I mean, one of the main things I feel in this show of Soviet, you know, propaganda that's almost a century old is how modern it is and how the world, the global marketing, branding, image making has learned so much from this. But to go back to the beginning, in the 20s, red, white, and black. Mm. These are the colors of early Life magazine covers.
Yes.
Some of these things look like Life magazine covers.
Yeah.
Again, the forefront of photography, marketing.
Totally. I love how there are breakthroughs, scientific breakthroughs. Hmm. My favorite one is Theo van Doesburg's invention of the 45-degree line. If you have we wake up one morning and say, wow, I don't have a horizontal, I have a diagonal line. And when the diagonal line sits somewhere, it creates velocity.
Hmm.
And so I love how a lot of the early kind of sort of stuff, it's all about this diagonal line creating velocity in the context of all this modern horizontal vertical kind of thing. I mean, so this is kind of like the big faces attract you. They're not that handsome, of course, but you're curious or you're in
fear. They've made them pretty handsome. Marx, Engels, Lenin, and Stalin.
And then you get magnetized, and there's like, oh, look at all these people. They're fighting and dying over here. And so, you know, people like to see fights. And then you see like these fights and you see happiness. Look at this, left to right. You see that? Oh, so bad. Oh, so much better. See that, left to right? You see that? That's like in that famous painting of Christ. It's a whole point about how paintings, every image is a piece of kinetic art because our eyes travel the canvas. So that was a cinematic moment here, left to right. I also noticed that CCCP stands for Creative Capital City Providence. It's good branding. I'm going to do that.
As well as USSR, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, this is great. This could be like now.
These are machinists, workers, industrial workers.
Beautiful. Right? Look at that. Oh wow. This is just like the whole graphic novel type of boom kind of now. Isn't this great? I mean, back then they knew what they were doing, you know. I love that. You see, this is also another important technique where their hands are coming out of the frame, creating three dimensionality. It's interesting. I love people. Oh, this is fantastic. This is like Hokusai kind of thing, like a block print sort of tidal wave thing.
Yeah. This is the not so good ship capitalism. It's burning and the capitalist is diving up.
Got a cannon and it looks like Nike shoes, but I didn't have Nike back then. But got these gigantic bullet bombs on himself and he's going to be jumping in.
You mentioned Nike, and he's got spats on, I think, or
Isn't
you know,
that?
Capitalist shoes. But
awfully stylish. Yeah.
Make the jump from this kind of branding, blatant imagery, and all of the there's something that gets you from here to the
now.
The iPod figures dancing and listening.
Yes.
The Nike swoosh and and other modern branding stuff. What's the jump?
Well, this is just a gorgeous image because it's sort of like rests. It's first of all, it's a framing, and it's the fact that we don't have to think, right?
Mm-hmm.
No thought. And advertising is about, it depends upon what year of advertising. It always changes. But usual commercial advertising is, I get it. You know, I see the entire space. I see variety. It excites me. And I see me. And that's me, or it's someone else I don't like. But that's that poster back there of the ship. That's extreme. So going to your advertising thing. Extreme works, but I always add that it's all about the rhythm. If we have too many extreme commercials, then it gets boring. So we go back to something less extreme. So it's all about the rhythm. So I would imagine that all these things have to be seen as the stuff that was here last year, because that changes why this became significant. It was how it bucked the trend. Figurative versus abstract, that rhythm.
Check this one. This is the red silhouette of Lenin in a kind of industrial booming Russia.
Yes, yes. He becomes godlike here.
He does.
Because he's not real anymore. He's virtual, you know?
Check
and
that.
He's got the dog hand.
The dog profile hand.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder about that. Maybe it was just popular back then. I don't know.
I want you to make the connection with the poster movement today and your own, RISD's own Shep Ferry.
Oh, right. Obey.
I mean, he's created this Obama hope poster.
Did
and
a good job
image.
At that.
Hugely powerful.
Yeah. How'd that happen? It happened because he was able to leverage historical images or historical image styles, and his style is very authentic. It's very grounded in history, grounded in liberal arts, and that's why the work is so deep.
Hmm. What's the secret of that Obama image?
Secret of Obama image? It's the timing. You see, I think that everything is about, as we all think about, it's about the right time to do something. So I think it could have been any image. It is, he hit it at the right time with the right kind of scale.
But there's something in the extreme simplicity of it. I mean, it's been imitated. There's a Sarah Palin version of the Shep Ferry.
Because it was the right timing. You see, imagine that it was a different kind of image. That would have been the mode. But I really insist that everything is about, I mean, first of all, you have to have a quality, but it's got to be at the right time. And he hit the right time. And also, he uses the web very well. Another example of an artist who uses the web in a very kind of a propaganda infiltrator style way. So combinations of these things create these perfect storms of popularity. Yeah.
Make a connection between this red silhouette of Lenin and the dancing girl or guy
in the
iPod.
That's so funny. Well, I mean, we love those iPod ads, by the way, don't we? Done by one of our trustees of RISD.
Really?
John Kamen, yes. But the whole idea behind that series is, again, it's trying to make this become... See, this is Lenin, but it could be me, because you can't see him anymore.
Hmm.
So in the same way the iPod commercials, that could be me too. We can't tell.
I could dance like that.
If I had longer hair and had a, you know, whatever kind of thing, drank lemon juice, there we go, and you can dance around. It happens, you know.
How do we account for the personality cult here? What is it that so gets our back up when we see these worshipful pictures of Stalin?
We in America or?
Well, I'm just thinking, we also love the Shep Ferry personality cult image of Barack Obama.
Yeah. Well, you got to love Obama, first of all. I mean, I think if you don't like Obama, I'm not sure you're going to like that. I mean, no?
I suppose.
I mean, people who love Obama love that image. I haven't asked a McCain supporter what they think of it. I'm sure they wouldn't think anything of it, basically. You know, but the reason why that image is liked is because Obama no longer is a person. Hmm. Obama is an icon. Obama is abstracted into fewer colors. Obama is not a real person. Obama is a radiant being.
Has he become a force?
A belief figure. Because we are so love-struck for someone or something to believe in. Think about people who aren't religious. You know, but we humans we survived because we were inherently religious. We were inherently spiritual. So people who don't have a god per se want to expect their politician, their super whatever, to be something more than human, superhuman. So the Obama poster makes Obama look like he's different. He's beyond humanity. We can trust him because he's not one of us. He's above all of us. But he's also one of us.
Hmm. But we get our guard up when we see it in the Russian leaders, and we embrace it when we see it in what might be ours.
I really think that if you're a super person doesn't believe in this kind of stuff, you're not going to like the Obama poster. I mean, the Obama poster appeals to belief.
Interesting.
I mean, and this stuff was probably to a populace that didn't just have belief, they were brainwashed into believing it was important. So this is kind of like an IV into your brain. Mm-hmm. And this is the regular drip, drip, drip to reinforce your childhood. You know, you don't know what it means, but the fact that it's there makes sense. It's kind of like when I'm in the RISD Museum and I walk around the paintings and stuff, the director told me, well, the fact that you're in there means you're absorbing art, even though you aren't looking at it. So this stuff is all in the DNA of their environment, and it's just become so natural.
There's some drawings here, watercolors. I'd love you to just check out.
Watercolors.
So
I love watercolors. It reminds me of like little books and stuff like that.
This was the Russian cooperative of artists actually making fun of Hitler, Mussolini.
1940s. See, this is what bothers me about the display of art sometimes. Like, I wish, like, around the art, there was, like, you know, during this era, people looked like this and felt like this, right? Because, like, we're walking around, like, 1970 and 1900 whatever, this is a very abstract experience for me, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if I had a life-size cut of a person of that era right nearby, like, if we were standing in a crowd of people from the 40s right now, wouldn't this be so much better? Like cardboard cutouts of people? Don't you understand what I mean? You'd be living there suddenly. And then you can, like, look at this, you know? Or you know
yeah,
what I mean?
We could hear a little German music of the 40s or Russian.
Yeah, I mean, that's the power of, like, non-academia. We can come out and become real people again. And unless we can, like, interact with real people, we don't know how to feel. We can live in concepts. Mm-hmm. You know, political science around this, but the average person should have access to this kind of information at a certain kind of depth, and it's missing in these kind of exhibition type experiences. It's very sad.
How did they grab you as watercolors?
As watercolors? Well, you know.
Here's Hitler and Mussolini reviewing their bloody handed.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, you would argue that any kind of art that is so easy to get into your brain is probably not good art because you have to struggle a bit. You know, it's kind of like, you know, when you reveal something to someone else, that mystery, that journey, the questioning is what gets you to something deeper. Whereas if it's just so obvious, it went direct to brain, that's advertising. That's the goal. Hmm. You're supposed to get in there as fast as possible. Again, the responsibility of the communicator. If this person's responsibility is to give a timeless expression of some important concept, they're failing because all they're giving you is a message of Hitler. Nothing deeper beyond this obvious blood type of whatever references.
My question in galleries like this is always at the end.
Oh, good.
Which one would I steal?
Oh, that's a great question to ask.
And I know in this, but I'm just wondering if you could put one of these posters under your coat.
Well, to tell you the truth, I'm living in a post-ownership era. Seriously, so I have no desire for anything anymore.
I've never stolen anything out of it.
I'm not saying you've stolen something, of course, but you see, it isn't a matter of what would I take back, it's what would I like to forget. And what I like to forget is the fact that, you know, there are artists who had to make images like this to pay the rent, to eat, and they've left excellent marks on paper that have good ideas, but don't exist as art per se. They exist as symbols of being controlled. With subtle defiance, like with your hand comment. But it's about.
Do you feel that way about artists who are not enslaved, but sort of work in mass advertising all the time?
So important point. You know, I think that people that work in mass advertising and have livelihoods, I think that this is something that is totally okay for me. Maybe it means I'm capitalist John in a sense, and then I figure you should help to build the economy, create the whole system. I think in this case it's different because you're serving something quite politically charged. I wouldn't say EVIL, but I would say definitely is manipulative. It's that whole ethical standard, right? You know, I think that I work with so many companies because I like to see where they are on the ethics sort of like bar. And oftentimes the best companies have such great ethics.
You know, the last time we talked, you made an interesting observation that visual imagery lasts longest.
Yeah.
And afterward, a friend of mine said, what about Proust? Proust tells you that smells and tastes and all sorts of other sense images are much more deeply buried, and maybe when they're liberated, have a much more powerful force. What did you mean that the visual image lasts longest?
Well, our brain is devoted mostly to that. I mean, that and also keeping our heart pumping. You know, I mean. I think that smells are kind of, you know, they're visceral. Sound is physical. But the visual thing is we aren't touching that thing at all. We're just like looking at it with our eyes. It's such a passive sense. And that's why it's powerful. We're not messing with anything in the world when we do this. Yeah, like when you smell, you're like, you know, you got moisture coming into your nose, and it's a physical interaction with the world. But your eyes are just sitting there absorbing the photons. This is all passive here. It's kind of the feeling like, as I'm looking at this, I think I'm sitting on the beach, looking out to the, you know, the horizon, and it's like, well, you know, it's like, life's not that bad. life's kind of, you know, okay kind of thing.
Long live posters, John. I mean, what would RISD kids learn from this? And what are they doing in their own poster courses now for the next wave, the next generation?
Well, I hope they're making things in print and photographing and then putting it on the web, because this is about being seen. And we're like in this little kind of room here, and no one else can see it except us right now. And by putting these on the web and making them searchable makes them accessible. Again, I'm not web crazy. But I'm access crazy. I'm open crazy. And that's important to embody in this day and age of sharing information at an infinite scale, because we can.
Paul McCarthy and Sarah Archambault produced and edited this conversation with John Maeda. Talk back about your own style of looking at art with a comment on our website, radioopensource.org. I'm Christopher Lydon. Thanks for joining the conversation.